Welcome to the Persuasion Lab podcast. I'm Martin Medeiros, expert negotiator. Unfortunately, the world isn't made to your specifications in all ways at all times, which means you need to be able to communicate your wants and needs so you can get them met. I'm here to teach you the tools and strategies so that you can do exactly that. Stay tuned after the episode for more information about the fully outfitted Digital Persuasion Lab, or head over to thepersuasionlab.com to get started. This week on the Persuasion Lab, we're going to talk about housing, specifically real estate sales pursuant to what are called pocket listings or whisper listings. And what this involves is a failure to negotiate in a few ways. It may be advantageous, but at the end of the day, in a restricted market where real estate is going at a premium and housing is constrained, it doesn't make a lot of sense, in my opinion. So let's get started. Real estate agents are selling more homes to preferred customers. In other words, if I go with AXY Realtor, I may give them the first crack at some homes that people approach me that never list, and thereby short-circuiting all the work you have to do to get a public listings and disclose it publicly. For this reason, we have the rise of these pocket listings or whisper listings, basically listings that aren't disclosed. And they've been around forever. And it may happen as a matter of course. If you are a seller, you may not list your home at all. You may have a yard sale, for example. Someone comes in and say, gee, you have a great house. Are you moving anytime soon? Looking at the yard sale, yes. Oh, would you accept this offer? And then the deal basically is consummated in subsequent steps. So for the vast majority of transactions, this doesn't happen. For the vast majority of real estate transactions, an agent lists a home, or if it's a for sale by owner, in a local database, and people can see it, and then it's re-reported with the real estate listing service, and then, you know, Zillow, Redfin, all these other companies get a hold of it, Trulio, I think, if they're still around. They publish these listings, and then it's a public market. And essentially, in constrained market, this becomes an auction. The seller may get several offers, each one trying to bid out the other because supply is constrained. And as you know, reduced supply with equal or more demand increases price. It's inflationary. So these private pocket listings where the realtor gets advance notice of houses going on the market and approaches their best customers can help them lower their profit. And why would they do that? Why would I not want a public listings to bid up the cost of a house? One, I think that these customers I have will pay a premium, because when you have a private transaction that's not validated by a market mechanism where in a free market buyers and sellers come together and non-coercively exchange goods and services, and in this case real estate, if you're the realtor doing a pocket or a whisper listing, you are trying to get more money from your client base. It makes sense. People would not do this for free. Or there may be some benefit. Why is this risky? Because one, if I'm the buyer, I may think, if this isn't on a public market where I can have that auction effect because the housing market is constrained, am I getting a price? And the answer to that is, you don't know. Am I getting a price that's the best I can get as the buyer or as the seller, depending on who your listing or buying agent is? So if I'm on the selling side and I want to maximize my deal, I want to go to a public market. Now, if I'm on the buyer, if I really, really trust that realtor, I may think he's cutting a deal for me, but the seller, again, is not taking advantage of the market mechanism. These private, undisclosed deals don't have complete information. And whenever you lack information, and those who listen to the podcast know information is king in a negotiation, you don't know if you're pricing it over, you're pricing it under, or what have you. Now, the dialogue with the realtor and his client base or her client base would be, here are the comps. I think the price is going to go here, and here's what we can do. I can tell the seller that you're willing to play this price based on these comps. That may be good for you. It may be bad for you because, again, you don't know. You really don't know where the market is if it's one source. Those comps are dynamic. Markets go up and down all the time. And without a free market mechanism, you don't have that real-time information. All the information about location, taxes, school systems, all this information that changes day to day is reflected in the price of that real estate. If this is secret, I don't know. Now, if I'm one of the clients of this realtor, I would like that if he's going to cut me a deal, and he may cut you a deal. There may be someone who say, I need to help sell this house fast. I really am not interested in maximizing my return. Do you have someone who's ready, willing, and able to make a cash offer? That may be a very small subset of clients of that realtor, and that may make sense for them to say, okay, we're not going to list because of the timing and expense of marketing a piece of real estate on the public market. So here's a few people who are ready, willing, and able who approach me to buy and save time. But that's a trade-off. See, that's a value to this realtor. They don't have to go through this stuff. It's a value to the seller because they want to get out of the Dodge or get rid of the property quickly. Going through the process of a public listing may burn the clock. And as we know, you can negotiate everything except for time, because time keeps going on. We really can't control time. We can manage our time, but we can't control the clock. So for this reason, pocket listings, which are very small, they account for about like 3-2% of the listings in some markets. Other markets, they may be higher. So this isn't a lot of houses that are subject to pocket listings. But one thing is clear, according to Redfin, they estimate in certain hot markets that about 5.4% of sales are done without being publicly listed. And this is from a quote in the Wall Street Journal. So, which is an increase. So it's kind of interesting and maybe counterintuitive when this sense of urgency, it's a hot market, I want to close fast in these markets. So these pocket listings are going up by, 2 to 3 percentage points in these hot markets. Why is that? Maybe time anxiety. We know that we may be in a bubble, real estate bubble. Things are overvalued. Every bubble bursts, from tulips to internet stocks in the year 2000. We know that overvalued assets eventually come down to sanity. And that's probably why these pocket listings are going up in hot markets. Now, is that the best for the buyer? Maybe. If you're in this select group, it may cut you out of the public market and you may not have an auction. In my market, which is, you know, Pacific Northwest area, the houses are basically going at auction. You have a listing price and then you have competing offers that can increase the price of that 10 and in some cases 20 or greater percent above the listing price. Now, to be sure, if you're getting a 20% delta in a closing price or over 20%, that may be a problem with the realtor on how they priced it out and looked at the comps and used the information. Generally, you don't see deltas of 20%. But in a free market, and if I really want the house, and generally speaking, unless you live on a volcanic island that's island building, they don't make it anymore. So that position where you are building a story around this piece of property as the seller, the buyer is building that same story in their head because this is perfect. Oh, I can, you know, if it's a family, for example, I can, you know, imagine little Benny on the swing set out back, and oh, Laura will love this little garden or sandbox. You know, all these emotional things that we attach to real estate will inflate the buyer's price, and that's when buyers get into auction. And they may be disappointed. They may say, we've been looking for our houses for a month. No one's accepting our offer. It's going down. Whether or not I totally like this deal, I'll bid it up. And that's why we get this inflationary market. So these dynamics and why markets fluctuate and the logic of a pocket listing really have to be observed by the parties. So let's break it down. If I'm a realtor and I want to make, I hear of a property coming on sale, if I'm a good realtor, I have my ear to the ground, and I have my portfolio of willing buyers who are in the market. Hey, I can sell you this house. It won't be listed. It will, here are the comps, they're at X. Well, you can do that, or you can say, I think it's worth Y, and then you can see what price they take. Now, if I'm the buyer, the first question I have in that select group, why aren't you using the public markets? You know, what's in it for you? And they may say, hey, you're a longtime client. We've closed on 5 properties. It's always gone well. I know you get the financing or you have the cash, and it's just a lower cost for me, and it's going to save me, you know, 10-15k, so that's why I'm offering it to you. So you want to have that dialogue as the buyer of a pocket offer, because you want to find out what's in it for them. Now, as the seller, I think the seller is at a slightly greater disadvantage because of that bidding process that a public market has in a constrained market. Like if the market's tanked, no one's buying real estate, yeah, you want to look at reasonable offers and not want to benefit from, you know, restrained supply. So I think sellers are more disadvantaged in a pocket offer situation, unless there's something else operating. For example, I mentioned the time constraint or something. So, public markets, listing services, they benefit from public advertisements because, you know, you see a lot of these companies that benefit from, hey, go to my website, I'm going to hook you up to the buyer or seller, depending on which side you're on, and here's my advertiser for financing. So these online realtor companies benefit from the public market because they're third-party ancillary services involved in that are very lucrative, and they get data from buying patterns, who's new in the neighborhood, etc. So these things, when they're offered publicly, and certainly, you know, the multiple listing service, all these benefit from that public market. So there are some people who say, oh, these pocket offers are not fair and all that. And I'm not sure I understand why, because it's to my way of thinking, it's a deflationary type of thing. On the one hand, because you're not putting it out there to an auction, but it is inflationary in that when no one sees that house in the market, that is a constriction on the supply of houses. So that's why I'm thinking pocket listings, I think they're, again, statistically, they're a small percentage. They don't really affect that many people. I think they, again, if I'm a seller, I would probably not want to do that. If I'm a buyer, I would want to know what the mechanism is and if it is a deal, or am I getting an inflated price and being sold on something that may or may not exist. So those are my thoughts on this whole new phenomenon of the new phenomenon is the increase in pocket listings in select markets. But it's an old phenomenon. I'm not sure it really has a net impact on the real estate market except for a handful of buyers. And that's our discussion today on the Persuasion Lab. I hope you enjoyed this information on the pocket or whisper listings. Thank you for joining us. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. If you haven't yet, please hit subscribe and leave a review and a rating so other folks can find the podcast. And, of course, the fully outfitted Digital Persuasion Lab is open and ready for all your negotiation experiments. If you head over to thepersuasionlab.com, you'll find tools like strategic plan assessments, deal point checklists, operational considerations, scripts for specific types of negotiations, and access to exclusive personal consultations. The tools and databases are updated monthly, if not weekly, so there's always something new to learn and try. Remember, we communicate our needs to the world using persuasion, influence, and negotiation, and how effective we are at using those techniques determines if, in fact, our needs are met. This is Martin Medeiros in the Persuasion Lab. Thank you for joining us.